Well, good morning. You know, this is kind of a strange thing. At 8:30, everybody sat on that side. Am I wrong? Is that right? That's pretty interesting. All right, you guys worked out a plan on us this morning. That was pretty nifty. Well, we're talking about time for the next 4 weeks, as John told us at the beginning of the service today. And today we're going to be talking about inspiration. And we are not talking about cheesy 80s love songs. I begged Mike all week long as we were planning the service. I said, all I have in my head is Chicago singing, "You're the Inspiration." You know, they're singing their song, and I couldn't hear it today. And he said, "Well, I was this close to playing it." But you know that song, did that make you think of anybody in your life that's inspired you? Those things, hey, that was a good answer. Who said that? Go, Xavier. Good job, man. He gets an extra donut, Mom. All right. But can you think of somebody in your life who fits that bill? Someone who you've seen in passing? A teacher? A friend? Maybe someone you're sitting with right now? Okay? Maybe those words really hit home with you today. And, you know, I think it's really interesting because my guess would be that if you went and told that person, "You had such an impact on me, you have inspired decisions I still make today," they would be dumbfounded. They would be dumbfounded. They would not realize that they had ever had that kind of impact on anybody, especially not you. When I was in high school, I was an athletic trainer, and I was in college also, and I loved it. I love sports, and I liked the whole medical side, and yeah, the feet were kind of gross, but it was okay. You could get over that. It was really fun helping the people. I mean, it was really cool stuff. Okay, but it was a really great thing, and so I was doing it in high school, and I went to Bowling Green, and I was in the program there, and it was okay. You know, the feet were still the same, the sports were still the same, people were still falling down and whining because their bones sticking out, and I mean, it was all the same. But I didn't enjoy it as much. Hey, athletes get whiny. I'm sorry. They do. But, you know, I just didn't like it as much, and I couldn't figure out why. And a few years later, I finally understood what made high school so much better were those coaches. I worked with these football coaches. And, man, I showed up at practice, and you would have thought I pulled up in a limo and that, you know, the president had just gotten out. And if I came to them and said something, they listened to me. And they believed me, and they trusted me. And when I said, "Hey, this kid is hurt. He can't play today. I mean, you got it. The doc's not here yet, but you can't send him out." That was good. That was okay. He doesn't go. They believed in me in a way that I didn't believe in myself, because I was a high school student. You don't believe in yourself sometimes when you're high school, right? Doesn't that happen sometimes? They made me believe in myself in a way that I still remember today. That's how you inspire someone. And your life can be just inspiring. And I promise, they weren't like, you know, putting up big billboards that said, "Erin's great. She's going to do a great job today. Here she comes. Their life's all better." You know, they weren't doing stuff like that. They were just living their life. And they were letting me be a part of it. And they were making choices when I was around them that changed my life forever. And that's what being an inspiration is. Understand this. Inspiration doesn't fall around some sort of time frame. Okay, I was with these guys for 4 years. That's a long time to be inspired by somebody. And yes, as you watch people live through life and go through hard times and good times and everything in between, that inspires you. You know, Diane Sheets, for those of you ladies who came to our last women's breakfast, Diane got up and shared her incredibly inspiring testimony. And I'm sure that the people who heard that message for 20 minutes were as inspired as the people who'd lived those many years with her. Okay? Inspiration can happen in a second. Choices you make for 1 minute out of your day could have a ripple effect to many lives that you would never even realize. Here's an example. One thing to think about is this. At one time or another, we have all felt that we have nothing to contribute. We have all felt that there is nothing we can contribute. I'm not old enough. I'm too old. I'm not rich enough. I have too much money. Never been in that shoes, but I'm sure it happens. You know, we come up with some excuse of why we don't have something that we can give. We've all been there. Listen to Acts 3:6. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." Let me set up this story a little bit for you. Peter and John were friends of Jesus. They were called his disciples. They after Jesus died is when the story takes place, and John and Peter are going through the towns, letting people know how much they matter to God, and they come to this place where there's a man who can't walk. He hasn't walked his whole life, and he's begging for money. And he gets real excited because Peter comes over to him. He's thinking, money, I'm going to eat today. You know, this is going to be a good day. And what Peter says to him is, I don't have money, but what I have, I will give to you. And what does he tell him? Get up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Now, you're sitting there thinking, that's great. So to inspire someone, I have to perform miracles. No. You don't have to go out and tell some person to walk today. But what you do need to do is look at what Peter says. Peter has the same reaction we do. I don't have any money. I can't do that. But look at Peter. He doesn't dwell on what he doesn't have. He says, everything I have, what I have, I'm given to you. That's what God's asking us. That's what inspires people. Not what we don't have, but what we're willing to give. With our time, with our money, with our lives, with our heart. And I know you may be thinking, yeah, but you don't understand. Any of those things that you're talking about, my contribution would be like this. Maybe not even that big. Maybe more like this. It's so little. What could that little bit do? It's so insignificant. Again, Peter doesn't dwell on what he can't do or how big it is or what kind of impact he's going to have. He just gives it. And the fact is, and I think Peter probably remembered this, it doesn't matter how big the gift is, God will multiply it. And I'm going to do a little verse here out of Matthew 5:17, where Peter and John and Jesus and the disciples are with about 5,000 men, plus women and children, and it's time for lunch. And somebody forgot to bring the food. So all they've got are 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And they come to Jesus and said, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what does God do with that insignificant gift? He feeds everybody with leftovers. Love leftovers. That's multiplying insignificance. That's using small things to make a big inspiration. And the reality is, you will never know how significant your life and your efforts, your smallest contribution will be, if you never try. We're going to watch a video today. The young man that they're talking about is a young man. He's 19. He has Down syndrome. I don't tell you that because it's really of no significance. I'm not telling you that because it's really of major significance to the video. I am telling you that because this is what I'm imagining. At the age of 19, when he was born and where the medical field was, his parents probably got a report that was something like, you know, his life may not amount to too much. You know, this he may have to go to a hospital. He may not be able to care for him. Don't expect a lot out of his future. You know, that's probably the message that they received. And that's the only reason I'm telling you that. Otherwise, this video really doesn't have anything to do with anything else but his heart. So let's watch the video. If you have heard the message in your life that you will not have an impact, that you are not significant, that your life does not have meaning, it is a lie. Every life has a meaning. Every life matters. No contribution is insignificant. And here's the thing about this verse. This is the point we don't talk about enough about the loaves and fishes. I don't care if you send $1 million out of your own personal account to Africa to feed the starving children. God will still see that as 5 loaves and 2 fish. Because he will multiply it to something beyond anything you can dream of. It's all loaves and fishes. A piece of paper, $1 million, a hug, a smile. You don't know how God will multiply it. I mean, that's a pretty big impact. Every life matters. Every life has purpose, and every life can inspire. And how did Johnny do that? Well, he started by doing just what Barbara told him. He left an imprint, got his fingerprint, and stuck it all over every one of those notes. He cut them out. He signed them. He wrote them if he couldn't find one. He left his fingerprint on every life he touched. Acts 3:7, okay, Peter's told him, get up and walk. And then He seizes him by the right hand. He raised him up, and immediately the man's feet and ankles were strengthened. What did Peter do? He reached out and he touched him. We talked about that last week, right? We talked about the importance of touch. The babies die without touch. We need appropriate touch 7 times a day. We thrive on it. We need that interaction with one another. Peter helped this man walk when he reached out to him physically and pulled him up. Why do you think Johnny had such a big impact with his thoughts for the day? You know, Johnny was genuine. He was just being genuine. Hey, I can do what she said, but what am I going to do? I really want to do it. I have an idea. I can write a note and put it in their bag. I can do that. And you know, I don't think Johnny was at home thinking, okay, this is how it's going to start. I'm going to write my notes, and then the store is going to change, and sales are going to go up, and we're going to be in the black at the beginning of the fiscal year, and then I'm bagger of the year. That wasn't Johnny's ultimate goal, right? What did Johnny want to do? He wanted to make people happy. He wanted them to know that they mattered to the store, not because they were customers, but because they were people. And so he was genuinely, genuinely reaching out to them. He was honest. I mean, let's face it. They said in the video, great service comes from the heart. And what is more from the heart than being honest and being genuine? Right? That comes straight from your heart. He honestly just was doing something nice for them. And he wasn't sitting there thinking, man, what if they laugh at my thoughts? What if they think it's another piece of trash in their bag? He was thinking, I can do what she said, and I'm going to try. Because what did we say? You will never know the impact if you don't try. And so Johnny tried. And man, did he leave an impact. I want to go shop at that store. He was face-to-face with people. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, writing a handwritten note goes a long way. Making a phone call to someone when they need you and you can't get to them. Those are good things. We even have a whole ministry here where we send cards to people. And that is a very powerful thing. But when you are with people, when you are in the position where they can watch you living life, making choices, you are face-to-face with them, they know how honest you are. They feel how genuine you are. And your message, your life, inspires them, no matter how insignificant it seems. And the last thing is to show some interest. Have some fun. Be excited about what you're doing. It's contagious. Johnny was contagious. What happened in that store? Nobody else could check anybody else out because they wanted to be in Johnny's line. The florists are handing out flowers. The workers are saying, I'm having fun creating memories in my store. I mean, that's the kind of environment people want to be a part of. They want to work there. They want to shop there. They want to know the people who are involved there. That draws other people in. And isn't that what our faith, isn't that what our God is? This wonderful, contagious love that we want other people to experience. When we live our lives with that out on our sleeves in a very honest, genuine way, face to face with people, they can't help but catch a glimpse of who God is and be inspired. John and I met in Ocean City, New Jersey. We were part of a group called Campus Crusade for Christ, and we went there for the summer to kind of learn different ways to teach people that they really matter to God, because that's something John and I are pretty passionate about. And I was out on the boardwalk with some of my friends, because as part of the summer we were supposed to go out and just talk to people and say, hey, you know what, we really think that you have some value, and we really think that God cares about you, and we want you to know why. And so my friends and I met up with a young high school girl and her friend, and after about probably 5 minutes of talking to them, came to realize that they had probably the worst home life I'd ever heard of. And that they had heard their whole life that they were pretty insignificant. Whether people said it to them or not, that's what they heard. And we really hurt for them. And so we asked them if they would consider coming to see us the next day, because we wanted to talk to them more. I think we even offered to bribe them with food or something, just to get them back, you know, because you high school kids like to eat, right? Yeah. So we come the next day, and we're there early because we don't want to miss them, and they don't come. And we wait, and we wait, and the time goes by, and they're not coming. so we decided, well, let's just sit down and pray for them. We'll just use this time, and maybe if we can't talk to them, maybe God will send somebody in their life who will help them understand how important they are. And so we're praying, you know, God, just keep them safe. When they go home, please let things change. Bring people in their life who love them and can teach them a different way. And, you know, we're just praying these things and being, as you know, just letting it all out because we just cared about them so much. And as my friend was praying, I remember thinking, man, God, what would happen if they hurt us? I just wish they knew what we felt. And I opened my eyes, and there they were. They'd heard everything. Every word. For the next 5 days, they met us every day. I don't know where they are now, but I do know that when they left that week, they knew that their life could be different. And that they knew no matter where they went, there would be three people who would always believe in them. You don't have to do significant things to make significant changes. All you have to do is remember that others are always watching and can be powerfully changed by your life. In Acts 3, 8 through 10, it says this, "With a leap, the man stood upright and he began to walk, and he entered the temple." I love that. He's walking. The first thing he does is run into that temple, and he's walking and leaping and praising God. And what happened? All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate. Man, I'd love to see that. They're probably going, "Now, wait a minute. He was the guy that used to sit and bet, right? And now he, what is that, him in there? You're seeing that too." He used to be the one that sat at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I mean, that'd be pretty amazing to see somebody's life changed because of something you did, because you took the time, because you said, "I may not believe that what I have is very big, but I do believe, God, that you can make it big." Right? That's all Peter did. That's all we're being asked to do. Just believe that God will take it and do more. You know, my girls started ice skating last week. They're so good. They don't fall. You know, I go and I'm watching, and there's this little boy laying on his stomach on the ice almost the whole time. And I'm thinking, well, that would be me. That's why I'm not the one ice skating today. But my girls are out there, you know, doing their thing. And Tana goes backwards, and she spins, and she jumps. And so the first week, Haley couldn't go. So I took Isabel and my camera. And so here's Tana puts on her skates, and I'm taking the pictures. And she steps on the ice, and I shoot. And Isabel, get off the ice. And so Tana's skating, and I click, "Isabel, get off the ice." And I'm clicking, "Isabel, stop. Mommy, I want my skates." Okay. Put my camera away. We went and found the most wonderful woman I've ever met in my life. Her name's Nikki at the Fremont Rec Center. She runs their skating program, and she is my hero. I went up to her, and I said, "Nikki, Isabel wants to skate." "Okay." I said, "She's 3. "Okay." I said, "She doesn't have any joints in her toes." "All right." I said, "Her big toe sticks out like this on each foot. I don't even know if you can get it in the skate. Do you understand me?" "All right, well, we'll bring a bunch of sizes." Okay. Next thing I know, she's got skates on my daughter. She's penguin walking to the rink. Nikki pulls out her PVC duct tape walker, which I love. And I said, "Well, what do I do now?" "Well, put her on the ice." So I did. And Isabel went, "Whoa." And her face is big, you know, big grin, "Whoa." And her legs are going, "Whoa." And it was that moment that I realized all the people standing around me. There had to be 5 or 6 other moms who had forgotten that they had children because Isabel had become theirs. And I said, "Boy, you know, 3 years ago when she was born, they told us that she would have a feeding tube and a trach, and she wouldn't walk, and she'd be mentally retarded. And what do they know? What do doctors know?" And so for the next 10 minutes while that little girl was out on that ice, those moms noticed every move she made. And they were inspired. And I could sit down with Isabel and explain it all to her. "Isabel, honey, people think that you're different. You know, they think that you don't look the way that they do. They think that they should feel sorry for you. They think that, you know, they need to help you. And so when you got out on that ice, you changed their life. You know, you inspired them. They're never going to forget you." And Isabel would say, "Where's Elmo?" You know, Isabel doesn't care. She's 3. But that's the power of inspiring someone. It doesn't require this great planned out effort.
It's living your life and being honest and genuine and face-to-face and real and letting it all hang out. It's okay. You know, that be honest. It's okay when you make a mistake to be honest about it. When you hurt someone, to be honest about it. When you're celebrating, be honest. Those things inspire. They change lives. You know, the last thing that I want to leave you with is to remember Johnny's impact. He changed a whole community. I got to believe people are getting emails with Johnny's thoughts for the day. I got to believe they are. Okay? You go on any website right now and type in the Johnny the Bagger video, and your Google search will bring up, I think it brought up 100 plus things about it. Okay? This is impact beyond people who walk through that, the doors of that grocery store. In Acts 3:11, and while the man was clinging to Peter and John, he wasn't doing this because he couldn't walk, right? This is joy. This is life-changing, wow, impact on him. He's clinging to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them and were full of amazement. The store manager said, customers are talking about us. They're coming back. They're bringing others with them. What would it look like if we had that kind of impact? What would it look like? What would it look like if the choices that we made as individuals and as a church caused people to come here and say, you know, I'm here because my life has changed, and you got to come check this out. What could we do in this community? How many people could we help? How many lives could we change? How many people could we end the lie that your life doesn't have significance? Wouldn't that be nice if we could do that? Because we know it's a lie. Have impact. Give service from the heart. Be Johnny today. We're going to have the band come up here as we go over some action steps. You know, just try and think of something that you really like doing, that you're good at, that you will be excited to say, hey, I get to do this today. And see what happens. See how you inspire someone. Use that thing to remind people you matter to me and you matter to God. Sign up for My Place this Wednesday. You know, John talked about the fact that we're going to be going through, you know, how to find out how much you matter to God, and then how to spend each day growing a little bit closer to Him, and then to find out how He's gifted you specifically to live this life and do amazing things, and then in the end of those weeks to find out, okay, here's some options that you could do in your life with all the things you're gifted to do. So bring a friend and come Wednesday night, free meal, stuff for kids and adults. And the last thing is to invite others to experience life with you. Bring them to church. Bring them to things that matter with you. Spend time with them. Remind them that they matter to you. Remind them that they matter to God. And please remind them that their life is significant. And I guarantee you will inspire more people than you will ever find out about.